It's time for the crime report, sponsored by the Suffolk County Crime Stoppers. 1-800-220-TIPS. 220-8477. That's where calls are kept confidential. And a monetary reward issued for info leading to an arrest. Joe Jackalone is a retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, and a current adjunct professor over at John Jay. He's an author of the bestseller, Criminal Investigative Function, Guide for New Investigators, third edition. And we always welcome him, the Sarge. Joseph, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
We have so much to cover this morning. I don't even know where to begin. But let's begin with what happened last Sunday with a police officer, a 33-year-old, shot and killed in plain clothes and wrestling with a suspect. And, you know, this suspect who had a record big time, Antonio Williams, 27 years of age, apparently reaching for Officer Brian Mulkeen's gun. And Mulkeen was aided by some police officers in the background, witnessed this, shots fired, Mulkeen hit a couple of times. Another tough story on friendly fire here, Joe.
Yeah, this is a terrible tragedy. I mean, these incidents are very rare, even though this is the second time it's happened this year. Before that, it's a long time since it's happened, but it doesn't take away the pain that the police department feels and the family feels. The thing is this. The cops at the scene with did nothing wrong. I mean, they're faced with a situation where they're struggling with somebody, the gun is there. This is why I know people go crazy when if the police shoot somebody who's unarmed. I mean, if you're wrestling around with somebody and the guy can get your gun, whatever, he's no longer unarmed. So this is a, one of those things where you say to yourself, what happened and can we avoid it in the future? The issue that comes down to the police, the cops on the scene, did what they're supposed to do. It's just an unfortunate accident that happened. I mean, there's nobody that cares blame for except for the perpetrator who was out there. But you need to find out why he's even out on the street. And this guy is pending another case up in Binghamton. He's got a long arrest history. The whole criminal justice reform thing that's going on, Jay, I don't like it. I mean, nobody's staying in jail. Nobody's getting bail for any of these major crimes. And it's only going to get worse.
I'll say this, and Joe sent me a story during the week. Describe it along with me here. An individual, I believe his name was Skylar Krause, was being chased by police up in Warren County, upstate, and he hit an innocent bystander on the street or the sidewalk and killed him. The guy's put in jail, and the guy is going to be released from jail, ladies and gentlemen, because these reforms that Joe is talking about, you're talking bail reform here now, okay? Another brilliant idea up in Albany unveiled a couple of months ago. So these individuals who commit these heinous acts, okay, they're put in and now they're taken out. They're released with the hope of these individuals returning.
Yeah.
Okay, returning to face a judge. Good luck with that, okay? Good luck trying to find these guys and put them back in place in the courtroom. And can you imagine, right, the article said, Joe, the hours that'll be logged by enforcement, tracking people. Can you imagine trying to track these types of guys down and bring them back? I can't even imagine. But you're right. The whole system stinks. And this Antonio Williams, like you said, up in Binghamton, should never have been on the streets of the Bronx.
No, I mean, it's absolutely nuts what's going on. And unfortunately, so many people don't know. Because come January 1st, the governor passed this bill. And basically, you will be able to get no bail for manslaughter. This guy was charged with manslaughter. Now, that's the other thing. I'm trying to figure out why this guy was not charged with murder third degree, because in the act of commission of a felony, you kill somebody, it's an automatic murder-free charge. So he gets manslaughter. He's getting released now under this new proposed bill that goes into effect January 1st about not holding people pending trial, no bail. And now he's going to be on the street. And like you said, Jay, wait for the governor and all the local counties get the bill from the police departments tracking down all these bench warrants. Because once the person doesn't show up to court, a bench warrant's going to be issued. Someone's going to have to go looking for him and bring him back to court. And or is that not the plan? Is the plan not to enforce the bench warrants? I mean, I'm sure that's probably the next thing we're going to hear about. Well, if you stop them at a traffic stop and they you know, went through a red light, you run their name, and they come up with a bench warrant, then you arrest them. Other than that, we're not going to be looking for anybody. So that's great. So you have people out there committing some of these felonies, which they recall, what they call nonviolent felonies. And you're going to be now the police are going to be subject to trying to figure out who everybody is just by a traffic stop or a street encounter. It makes the police job a lot more dangerous, too, because this guy thinks he's going back to jail now for a long time. The cop has no idea because he went through a stop sign or something. This is the worst thing for law enforcement. I hope we can get the governor on here so he can explain what he's exactly going to do when these guys stop showing up at court.
Next time I have him on, this is a top of the agenda topic without question. You must rethink this. You must, okay? You have to. You know, the Herman Bells. You know, see, to me, this opens up a Pandora's box of discussion. Herman Bell, the cop killer from the 70s, being let out, allowed to vote. You know, that we just open up so many areas of discussion here. It makes me sick. This Antonio Williams should never have been out on the street. This 33-year-old police officer, Brian Mulkeen, would be alive today. Okay? Would be alive today. If we have not struggled with all this reform that we have to put in place, I'll tell you.
Well, it's not really one. Reform. Not letting everybody out of prison or not giving anybody bail. That's not reform. That's actually community suicide, as far as I'm concerned. Because
common sense.
Some of these guys can, you know, who commit some, you know, minor crime, a theft or something like that. I can understand that you're not going to want to keep somebody on bail, something like that. Great. But when we're starting to touch the realms of manslaughter and some of these other things, I think we really need to stop and take a step back and say, what are we actually doing here?
No question. Okay. With that being said, the NYPD has directed all department anti-crime units to undergo this, as they put it, Joe, enhanced tactical training in the wake of the friendly fire that claimed the life of Officer Mulkeen. This is the second one, right? It was back in February. You had the Long Island guy, Brian Simonson, the police officer. Remember that whole thing with the it was a cellular phone store in Queens that a shootout took place. Friendly fire claiming Officer Simonson's life. Joe, listen, it's hard to even put yourself in a position if you have not experienced this stuff. You have. And, you know, friendly fire, I mean, what kind of training? I'm just curious, I would think you're going to have a load of this now coming into play from all departments, as mentioned. But when you're in the act of the event itself, I mean, give us an idea what that's like.
Well, here's the issue with the training. As far as I'm concerned, the training has been excellent. It always was, and it probably always will be. These are situations where, you know, it's at night, this guy's struggling and rolling around with somebody, and the guy's trying to take his gun from him. And that's basically, you know, what you're dealing with. And you got to remember, the cops here at the scene make this split-second decision. What I do right now, they hear the gun go off. They actually think, you know what's going to happen here? I got to do something. And that split-second decision-making then kicks. And then everyone likes the Monday morning quarterback, right? They think that police work is easy. But I can tell you something right now, rolling around with people is never any ideal thing you want to do, especially in the light of, you know, you have a weapon on you. And cops take this very serious, but you know what? It is a dangerous job. I don't care what anybody says. And you're dealing with people who don't want to go back to prison. Here's a guy, exactly, he doesn't want to go back, and that's why he's fighting. And that's why this whole new, you know, no bail thing really concerns me, Jay, because as they start warranting out, these guys are not going to want to go back to jail. And, you know, you just hope that you don't see any more scenarios like this. But I'm telling you, cops are going to be getting hurt in the future over these this bill. I can tell you that right now, because I did warrants for over a year or so in New York City, going back in the late 90s. And I can tell you, they don't want to go to jail. People don't want to go to jail. It isn't easy to take people in custody. They fight you. You roll around with you. You have there's pepper spray and batons. And the whole thing becomes a giant mess. And these decisions are made by people who have no idea what the cops out there are already facing. And now they're gonna be facing this on top of it. But I just hope that the police department also gets the counseling that the cops are going to need. I mean, we saw a spate of suicides that happened in this job over the last year. And you see a terrible incident like this, and you just hope that people can get the help that they're going to need to get through this. And that's right now is my big concern. Training has always been good, and I'm not worried about the training. I'm worried about now the mental health of the cops that are involved in this.
That's a great point. And there have already been incidents of some of these individuals who have taken their own lives. You know, we talk so much, Joe, it's a really great point. We talk so much about, you know, our service individuals who come back, you know, the PTSD and everything else that they suffer. And this is somewhat similar here, on the grounds here, within the ranks of those who have so much trouble trying to kind of comprehend things in life based on their occupation. Very important point there. And you're 100% right. You know, stuff like this, I can't even imagine. You know, you have to have lived and breathed it, folks, in order to kind of get a sense, as Joe's describing here. But a very tough scene, no question. All right, Joe, let's move on. A case of national implications and proportions, the Amber Geiger deal down in Dallas, Texas. The police officer, 31 years of age, who came home to her apartment only to realize it was not her, or at least she thought it was her own apartment, went into another man's apartment, thought it was an intruder in her deal, and pulled out her revolver and shot him, Botham John. And the trial, deliberations, and the 10 years that she'll get, five she'll probably be out with good behavior and everything else. A very, very interesting case this week, I tell you. Give me your assessment as far as the courtroom was concerned, the sentencing, and the overall state of mind that Amber Geiger might have had that day.
Well, we don't know exactly what she was thinking. I mean, one of the things that they bring up is that, she worked long hours. She comes home and then she does this. She makes this terrible mistake. And that's basically, I think, what the prosecutors, were alleging. But there's a lot more else involved in this, Jay. I mean, they released a whole bunch of text messages and stuff that she had posted. They kind of like, if it was in the trial, I think it would have been even more damaging than it was. And I can't say that I'm not surprised that she was convicted of this. I figured that she would. The murder, originally I think they had put her up for murder and they got the lesser charge of manslaughter. I guess now if she was in New York State, she'd get bail, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, the issue that comes down to is you can't afford to make mistakes like this. And, you know, people can't separate the fact that she was a police officer. She's in a uniform. She's coming home. She's off duty. She's not working as the capacity of a police officer. She's, you know, technically a civilian at that point. And, you know, this is, I think also, too, some departments need to rethink the whole thing of, you know, cops going home with the police car and the uniforms and everything else, too, because a situation like this, it just damages not only the families that are involved in this, but also damages the reputation of the department and also the struggle that the police are trying to fix between them and the community. This kind of incident here doesn't help. I reach out, hopefully to the family. We saw the brother make a gesture in court about hugging her and this and that, and just hope that they can get the healing that they have.
Yeah, unprecedented. The brother, that was incredible. That was an incredible moment. And how about the judge? I mean, you talk about unprecedented, Joe. How about the judge consoling Amber Geiger after the sentence? I mean, that was, I've never seen a, have you ever seen a judge in a courtroom do that, Joe, with an embrace as far as the defendant is concerned?
No, I haven't, but she's actually been a little bit under fire for that that maneuver, too. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, judges, you know, I guess if people forget, yes, judges are regular people, too, just like cops are. And they're humans, and they have these human moments, and sometimes they do things. And then people second guess and third guess and stuff. But I, you know, she handled the trial very well. She made no, you know, effort to show that she was in favor because this person was a police officer and everything. So, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I've never seen it before. And, hey, listen, if everybody's all into the criminal justice reform, maybe we should be just hugging people when they're on the way out the door, right? Maybe then send them on their way. Who knows?
You know, as far as the sentence, did you think it was appropriate? I mean, a lot of people asked, you know, this kid, this Botham John was going to, I believe, turned 28. A lot of people wanted her to get at least 20 years here. Did you think she should have gotten more or no?
No, I think the defense attorney actually overcharged. When you put somebody on for murder, I mean, you have to prove intent, right? So that's the big thing, and a lot of people don't understand that. So the law is the law, and you have to prove what the person was thinking at the time. So intent would have been, she's coming home, she says, I'm going to go into his apartment and kill him. And that would have been murder, but manslaughter is, you know, you accidentally caused the death of another, and that's basically what they got here.
I suppose. I mean, listen, she'll be out. By the time she's 36 years old, she'll be out in the street. I mean, that's really what it is, and it's a lesson to be learned here. You know, you have to use better judgment. Tough to put yourself in a position. You walk into a place that you live, and you find an individual scurrying about. You don't know what was said, what wasn't said. Text messages, sexting could have been on there as well with another police officer, a colleague. The reports are, you know, deviating from her train of thought, you know, that type of thing. Long shift she just came off of. You know, there's a lot of factors involved. A very complicated case, without question. But I tell you, a tough lesson to be learned. She'll live with it the rest of her life. Joe Jacklin on the Crime Report. Let's go to a couple other things, Joe. In Port Jeff yesterday, how about a guy walking into a liquor store and taking out a samurai sword? My goodness. I mean, you never know. And swinging it a few times. And, you know, the store owner, as soon as he did it, he shot him. It looks like no criminal charges involved here, but the man obviously deranged.
Well, no, absolutely. And yeah, this will go down as justifiable as the district attorney is looking through this case. This is the, I think, the second time in the recent future where somebody on Long Island was killed with a samurai sword, right? The police killed somebody, I think, in Nassau County a couple of weeks ago wielding a samurai sword, too. So, yeah, you know, this is, it's kind of odd, right? So you had two incidents like this on Long Island in a short period of time. And you just, you know, kind of shake your head that there's these samurai swords out there and people have them. You know, once again, I mean, think about it from the police standpoint when you come up against this guy. This is like a scene from Indiana Jones. I mean, you know, what do you do? So if you shoot this knife-wielding guy and then people are going to question you like they did, you know, a few weeks ago. It's just, it's absolutely crazy. You know, mental health is a big problem. Once again, nobody's addressing that, right? We're addressing criminal justice reform. But how about the fact that some of the people that are getting arrested are mentally deficient or have mental issues and they're not going to get the help? There's no backup in this plan. And that's something I also like to ask the governor when you get him on there. So you're letting all these people out. They're being screened for mental health issues. And if they are being screened, are they being sent to the proper care so that they can get the care that they need so they don't end up in the criminal justice system? That's something else I'd like you to ask the governor.
Well, you're right. And we talk about background checks and everything else. You know, same type of deal. You know, what is the protocol for that? You know, how much investigation is done or would be done regarding background checks? Lots of questions on this. Joe Jacklin, the crime report. Joe, you know, the latest regarding this guy who was drunk and mowed down this 12-year-old Boy Scout. You know, the latest, you know, this is court jockeying. If you ask me, you know, now you have the attorneys for Thomas Murphy asking for for a change of prosecutor here. Why? Because he feels they're a little too close to the McMorris family. Andrew McMorris killed during that September day last year. You know what? Face the music already. The Thomas Murphy got in his car drunk and mowed down Boy Scouts, killing one of them. You know, that's really what it's. I don't want to hear about this, that, and the other thing. Let's get to the case. Let's get to the trial. He turned down a plea. I'm getting tired of reading about Murphy and all the jockeying, so-called jockeying for position here in this upcoming.
Yeah, this is getting a little crazy now. I mean, at this point, you know, the lawyers are playing a lot more games than normally on this. So you're trying to get a new prosecutor because they're getting too close to the victim. I mean, listen, the prosecutor works with the victim. The defense, though, is he getting too friendly with his defendant? I mean, that's the defense attorney's job, to get to know who your suspect is and try to figure out how you're going to get him off. You know, the prosecutor does the same thing with the victim or the victim's family in this case. So I don't understand what the problem is. You know, I'm really scratching my head now at this point. But the DA is saying that there's no special prosecutor needed, but they're going to have to, you know, work it out with the judges. And I think it's going to end up right back where it is, Suffolk County, and then they're going to set a date on this and just get to it.
The case already, you know, listen, I like what I'm seeing, and holding people accountable here is key. Joe, I'm talking about a drug dealer convicted of causing a fatal overdose in Riverhead. He'll go to prison, I think 6 years it is, for this John Brophy. He pled guilty to manslaughter, among other counts. I think it's the third such case involving a drug dealer, if I'm not mistaken, in Suffolk County. But this is a guy who sold drugs to this victim who overdosed, you know, the mixture of heroin and other substances, fentanyl, whatever it is. And he sold the drugs after knowing it already caused, by the way, several non-fatal overdoses in the area there. So 6 years for Brophy there. But you're going to see more of this. This is about holding people accountable for their actions.
Right, and the thing in there, too, that some people might have missed, too, that he's going to federal. They went after him federally. He's going to federal prison, so he's going to do that time. And, you know, I think this is a great plan that they've had to help combat this opioid crisis. And we talked about this when it first started going out, and then we said, all right, they're making arrests, and we'll see what happens then. So, I think that the sentence is kind of light, but once again, you know, you got to add this drug selling charge and these other issues where we're going to start charging people with manslaughter. I mean, I think it's a great deterrence. If we want to try to get people away from selling these illegal drugs, then we have to do that. But we have to do something about the supply too, Jay, right? You know, and the demand. As long as there's a demand and a supply for it, you're going to have people willing to sell it and take the chance to make money. So this is there's a lot of working parts here, but it seems as if this plan of charging these guys is going well, as far as I'm concerned. And you know what? I don't think they threw the book at him hard enough. I think he should have gotten more, but that's beside the point.
And there's another case, I guess, a guy from Great Neck. He's going to face some manslaughter charges. This is a guy who provided cocaine, Xanax, and heroin laced with fentanyl to his girlfriend and another guy, both of whom, by the way, died from overdoses. So this 30-year-old, Justin Lum, his name is the first alleged drug dealer to be charged. This is being in Queens, by the way, with homicide connected to fatal drug overdoses. So once again, you have accountability and everything else being put in play here, Joe.
Yeah, no, it's a situation where, like I said, I think they just—it's like putting your finger in the dike. You know, you put it in one spot, it breaks somewhere else. I mean, it's just going on and on and on. Yeah, I think they're making some inroads, but I think we need to start doing a lot more.
I agree, Joe Jacklin. Crime Report extended version. A lot on the plate here, folks. Okay, you have, you know, we spoke about it a little bit earlier, Joe. The Joker, the movie's coming out today, and with all this and the hype and everything else, you know, you have threats on social media. This is about a mentally impaired individual who turns violent. The story of the Joker there. But, you know, you have to be vigilant. You go into a movie theater to see this. You got to know your surroundings. I said it earlier. When I go into a theater, I know everything. I know who gets up. I know who comes back. I watched the doors, you know, the side doors and everything else, make sure they're not open. We saw what happened in Colorado at, what was it, 2012? And that whole thing, James Holmes, his name was, remember that old deal? Dressed up as somebody, a character, and came as a Batman movie. That's what it was. So, in essence, you got to know your surroundings, and, you know, people, you're going to have patrols all over the place around the country here, right?
Yeah, they're going to do undercover officers, like you said, and they're going to, you know, they got to take these threats very seriously because you remember, you just said the Colorado thing, that happened during one of the Batman movies, Joker, if nobody knows, is part of the Batman series. And yeah, mentally deranged guy, very violent movie. They're already saying that this is not for children, this movie. Don't take your kids to see it. You know, and you, this is a movie where, like I said, you have somebody who gets some stupid ideas or is already mentally deficient in seeing some of these things. And I can tell you, you know, it wasn't a movie I was on my radar list, but if I had to go to this movie, I would be, I'd be very concerned, yeah. I mean, this is something where you have to worry about these things, and I'm glad that the police department is being proactive about it.
My kids want to see this. I will accompany them. It wouldn't be my first choice of movies, but I will go based on the you know, all the hype and everything else going on here. So, you know, it's just about being, it's like anywhere else. You go into a mall now, you got to be vigilant. You go into a Walmart, you got to be vigilant. Anywhere you go, this is the story of society these days. That's what it's all about. Joe, another troubling one here. You had a death of an individual in custody in the Nassau jail. Here we go again. What's the latest here?
Listen, there's more questions than answers. And we've talked about the Nassau jail for a while, and this, I don't know the exact number of people now, but I don't know what's going on there. I mean, if they are properly screening people before they put them here, and not getting the medical attention that they need ahead of time, and then they're having an episode in the jail, it makes everything look bad. So, you know, I don't know. I thought they would maybe have revamped a lot of the guidelines and stuff from the last time or two that we talked about someone dying in custody over there. I don't know, Jay. I haven't heard anything new in respect to the, you know, they're going to investigate the death or whatever, but, you know, we never hear the end of it afterwards. So, yeah, they announced that there's going to be an investigation, and then we never hear exactly what transpires.
Fortunately, we've seen this movie before, unfortunately, and, you know, let's see what happens in the investigation. It was a tough story earlier in the week. Two brothers, one shot by the other. It happened in Coram. A very troubling story between Devante and Dimitri Robert, their names were. But that unraveled in Coram early in the week.
Yeah, actually, he killed him. The police were already called to the scene, and as they were approaching, the one brother killed the other brother. I have a brother, right? We were fighting kids and stuff like that, but I never would imagine that something would come up to this level. And, you know, it's a terrible story. And once again, we need to find out, you know, more about the gun. We need to find more about the history. Is it domestic violence? The police have been called there before? All these questions we don't know any of the answers to. You know, here's an example of the Dimitri was arrested, charged with menacing with a handgun, and he was released on $750 bail, and he was due back on October 15th. So here's another kid who was menacing with a gun, let out of, these are the kind of things in the stories that nobody wants to talk about. But here he is, he's released on $750 bail for menacing somebody with a gun, and now he's involved in shooting somebody. What is going on here, Jake?
I don't know. The whole system is has gone nuts, I'll tell you that much. Crazy stuff. Let's see what happens there, getting him back in. Let's go to the Oceanside deal. The 18-year-old Arraigned who put the knife into this Kasim Morris. And now you had last weekend, I think it was 7, arrested and arraigned, Joe, in the case. You know, there's a lot of back and forth surveillance. These other kids didn't know what Flack was going to do to Kasim Morris. There's a lot of back and forth that'll be unraveled here in the courts as far as Oceanside is concerned.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter according to the law. You have acting in concert. And if you remember, Jay, when we first talked about this, I said there's going to be a lot more arrests made in this because when Patrick Ryder, the police commissioner of Nassau County saying that we are looking at the videos and there's other people involved in this. We're talking to people. And you know what? It's also a situation where you can use a blanket crime, like, you know, acting in concert, to charge everybody with murder, as far as you can tell at this point. And then hopefully that there are people that will cooperate with the investigation because they don't want to face a murder charge, and then cooperate with the district attorney and then tell the truth about what exactly transpired and what was the plan and what went down and how it happened and who was responsible for what. So this is something that's not out of the ordinary when you're dealing with a situation where you have this gang assault or whatever you want to call it, gang activity. And, you know, the district attorney is doing exactly what she should be doing. And we've talked about Madeline Singus for a while now, and I think that she's doing exactly what needs to be done. And let's see how the chips fall after this.
Yep. Illegal dumping. They're strengthening some of the stuff there. Listen, after what happened with this Operation Pay Dirt and everything else, you got to throw the book at these guys. You got to come down hard. You know, this is serious stuff. You know, you put that toxic stuff on somebody's property, it seeps into the aquifers and everything else. Hey, folks, you know, we live above these things here on Long Island. And quite frankly, they should have did this a long time ago. You know, with Clemente Park, Islip, what they went through, a lot of the homeless homes that were being built, it went through that as well. You got this whole deal with this Grazio clown. I'll tell you, well needed, but a little bit late for me. Should have been done a while ago.
Yeah, and I don't think the bill is the new law that they're proposing is even going to go far enough. I mean, they talk about possible jail time. I mean, no, it has to be, if you get caught with this, you're going to jail. You're risking lives of ordinary people who have no idea what's going on, the recklessness behind it. I mean, you can, listen, if you give me a penal law in enough time, I can come up with a charge to make somebody, you know, to use against somebody. I mean, it's as simple as that. And I don't understand it. And think about the money that it costs the counties to clean this up and the taxpayers who have to pay for this stuff. I mean, there's just so many things that work in parks behind us. And then you're endangering the environment and everything else. And you know what? Long Island doesn't need any more of those issues.
And I'll end with this, Joe. I mean, listen, you walk into a lion's den or whatever the heck it was at the Bronx Zoo. Yeah. Can you take... you know, what is going on in your head? This 32-year-old Maya Autry, they have identified her. They're trying to find her now. She entered giraffe and a lion exhibit last Saturday. Police are looking for her. You know what? I don't understand what's in people's heads here.
No, you talk about the Darwin Award, right? I mean, geez. They're lucky that this lion is probably more domesticated than not. But you know what? She's lucky to be alive. And then unfortunately, what would happen? So just this person takes it upon herself to climb over the fence, getting in there. And what happens if the lion did kill her? And then we have to euthanize this poor lion because somebody did something stupid like this. And lions do what lions do. I mean, at this point, it's just this isn't the first time this has happened. She got lucky because some of the times we had it. I remember the polar bear incident in Prospect Park years ago, where the kids went into the polar bear thing and the polar bear ate them. You know, I mean, this is like these animals are real. they have no conscience. They have no. They're not worried about getting fired, sued, arrested. They don't care. And you know, take a big chance. She's lucky to be walking around, but you know, the police are looking for her. She actually took a picture of the cops too. Shortly thereafter, they didn't know what was going on. You know, this Instagram photo. So we'll see what happens.
Nuts. I always remember that gorilla took that kid, remember? The kid lived another day, but didn't they euthanize that gorilla? Or no, I'm trying to think. That silverback, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I remember that incident. I don't know if they euthanized the gorilla or not, but that's usually what they end up doing because it's no fault of the animal. It's the stupid person that did this.
Joe, an extended version, a lot on the plate, we told you, and we covered most of it. Can't thank you enough, sir. Have a great weekend, all right?
You too, Jay. Take care, guys.